So we thank you, Lord, that you are ever increasing our faith and you are present. I thank you for the testimony of Pat, Lord. We've been praying for her shoulder and for her body altogether. And I thank you, Lord, that God is answering the cries of our hearts, that we know, Lord, that you are with us. In Jesus' name, we have confidence in you. Amen. This message is something the Lord has been moving and filling me with over the last couple months, and showing me who he is as the author and finisher of our faith. I did ask him to finish my faith, and he made it very clear to me that he was the one that would finish my faith, that it wasn't anything that I had to do, but just believe him. And I believe that in the maturing of our faith, it doesn't ever end, but you do come to a place where you just stand. You just stand. And even the trials, you just rejoice. And thank him, because he's so powerful and so willing. And this is, I keep seeing him. There's a scripture that says the Lord bends over the heavens to look. And I believe he's so eager to answer the cries of our heart. So we need to see him as he is, and he is the author and finisher of our faith. So what are we going to do with this Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to believe him, or are you going to worship him? You're going to leave him on the side, you know, like a sidecar, a sidebar to your life? Or you're going to invite him into every part of your life and trust him as your source. Because even when we came this afternoon, one of the older gentlemen from Grace came running up, and he's telling me about his son and his daughter-in-law and, you know, problems, serious problems. I ministered to these two young ladies last week that, I mean, when I finished praying with them, they started to tell me what that was going on in their life. And I'll tell you the truth, I just started to weep, because people are in serious and dire straits in the earth. They are. But we have the answer, right? So when we bring them to the man who was also human, still human when he went up to heaven, wasn't he? So I started to meditate on that reality of his humanness. Even when he went up to heaven, he's still human, even though he has a divine body, which is where we're going. We will have divine bodies. So we won't have all of these physical situations anymore. Anyway, he's standing up there, and he's saying, come up here, right? Revelation 4:1 says, come up here and I will show you, I will teach you. So in that coming up here, you have to spend time with him in order to hear what he wants to tell you. So when I was talking to this gentleman, I just said to him, I started to look into his spirit, and the Lord showed me he was very troubled. I said, you know, your job is not to worry. Your job is to pray and release your son and your daughter-in-law to the Lord. That's your job. Your job is not to worry. He's very worried. I said, you're not to be worried. Oh, I said, no, you're not to be worried. Then I said, what is God telling you? And then I started to talk about the gifts. And then he was talking about how there was a gentleman here, and he had a gift that he discerned something in his life, that he had a problem in his knee, and God healed him. I said, well, you know, God is a healer, and he's a miracle worker, but doesn't always work that way, does it? So he looked at me. So I could see that the doubts were starting to fall away and the fears were starting to fall away. I said, you need to just keep praying and believing. Just keep praying. Don't get frustrated and angry and all of that stuff. You know, that's just your soul. So I just said, I lifted up the name. I think his son's name was John, and I don't remember the wife's, Angela or something. Anyway, so they're in my heart. I'm praying for them. But I also want to remind all of us that we are not to carry everyone's problems on our shoulders. We have to learn also how to release the burdens and stop the intercession, you know, break that intercession, and know that we're standing in the presence of the intercessor who is standing and sitting next to the Ancient of Days, has accomplished everything that we need. Right? So Who is this Jesus? He's the Son of God. Oh, that was a sidebar. He's the King of Kings, the mediator between God and man. See, when you're in the midst of a situation, you say, who's your mediator? Where is your mediator? He's the author and finisher of our faith, not just in general, the author and finisher of our overall faith, but also the individual. This is what he was speaking to me this morning. All the individual things that I, situations that I find myself in, and the people around me. He is the author and finisher of every one of those situations too. And he wants to be glorified in every situation that you find yourself in. Does he find glory with death, sin? No. That's not how he's glorified. He's glorified by healing. He's eager to show people who he is, show his glory. So I'm going to give you a definition here in Hebrews 1:3. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken words. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the creator and the completer. He's the perfecter. He's the one that makes you perfect. And being perfect doesn't mean that you never make a mistake. It means that you are excellent and you do whatever you can do in the best way that you can with. I mean, I am not the same person that I was when I first came to Christ, thank God. He has perfected me in many, many ways and given me a greater understanding of who he is and a greater faith in who he is. I don't have to go through the valley of fatigue and sorrow and pain. I don't have to go through that anymore. I just go right to the King. No, no, no. He brings my life to conclusion. He brings your life to conclusion. He brings whatever it is that you have you need an answer for. He gives you the answer that you need. The gifts begin to move and operate the minute that you get into his presence and you shut yourself off. Shut your head off. Bring your emotions under the anointing of the presence of the Spirit of God. That's Hebrews 12:2. God in Christ is the creator and sustainer of our saving faith and our daily walk. He's also the finisher of our spiritual journey. So when we come to a place where we're standing, and it says that very clearly in Song of Solomon, when the bride is finished and she's one with the King, with her bridegroom, then she's able to stand for those. So I had people that were standing for me and standing with me and praying with me when I was walking through. And still now have people that are standing with me and praying. It doesn't end. What is faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God. And the more of the word of God that seeps into your inner being, the stronger that castle gets. I see it as a castle. The stronger the name of Jesus is inside of you, because you're feeding your spirit man, not your natural man. You're feeding that new creation. You're not feeding that which is really dead, if you go through Romans 6, 7, and 8, which I happen to love. Faith is a substance. It is the measure that we use to come when we come into the Lord's presence to believe. We use our faith. And what measure we have, I think that it grows. It's like that mustard seed. It'll start like a mustard seed, but then it grows into a big tree. The mustard tree is huge. So that's a way to look at it. Also, how much time you spend in the light affects your walk with God. And I don't mean like, you know, we have to work, we have to cook and clean and shop and do all, you know, for me, all these things. I watch my grandkids. There's a lot of things that I do during the week that are not sitting in the presence of God. Although I do spend a lot of time sitting in the presence of God. But I'm in the presence of God when I'm doing all those other things too. So what happens is it's a rollover. You've spent that time in the Lord in the morning and you feel his presence and you're in worship. There's a rollover into wherever you go, whether you go to work or the store or whatever, your neighbors, whatever. That rollover flows out of you and then it hits all those other people. Rudy and Liz, I'm sure that you touched a lot of people yesterday at that wedding. And God used you in Ani's life for many, many years. So what a beautiful finale and a new beginning. I saw them. I happened to see Facebook. So I was rejoicing with her. Michael looks completely different than the man that I had met quite a while ago. He just looks completely different. He's just like, his countenance was just, I said, oh, but see, that's what a wife will do. I am an advocate of marriage. I think marriage is amazing. Anyway, and a husband, the right one to stand beside you and walk through things with you. It's not a have to because Jesus is your husband, right? But it was such a beautiful, it was a beautiful culmination, and to see the two of these young people join their hearts together before the king, and that you were able to officiate that wedding. What a gift. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, faith is complete trust. The dictionary says, faith is complete trust and confidence in something. Because you put your faith in something. Something or someone. Faith is a strong belief. And you want your strong belief to be in someone, not something. Someone that's alive, that can move and help you wherever you are and what you need. Colossians 2:15, for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. And our own completeness is now found in him. Our completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled. Are you completely filled? You can be. Right? That's what it says. We are completely filled with God. As Christ's fullness overflows within us. So it's Christ within, and that overflows. And that overflows, and that overflows. And then it gets to the point where you don't even know what you're saying half the time, but the Lord just flows out of you in a beautiful way. And his life flows out of you, no matter what kind of a situation you find yourself in. No matter who you're talking to and who you're sharing, he will give you the words to speak to that soul at that moment. And it's not all one thing. It's God knows who needs to hear what from you at the time that you end up in their presence. He's the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. The Lord within you is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. I was talking to Hunter about this last night. He said, oh, yeah, you know, Jesus, he's the king of the universe. And he said, yeah, he's the king of the world. So he didn't understand the universe. So I said, no, Hunter, the world is in the universe. So the universe is all those planets that you love because you love space. So he's looking at me like, and then, of course, he said, I know. It's five. Anyway, so, of course, he got corrected by his parents. But the point is that we are also, that's such an example of we're ever learning and ever growing, all of us, even at this age. The little boy next door said something very snitty to me a couple of days ago. And I was very blessed that I did not respond in the way I might have. It came into my mind and went right back out. I said, thank you, Lord. Oh, she's in trouble. I feel sorry for that. Oh. When you don't train your kid, they will do whatever they please. I'll just tell you that. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and the power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. Oh, extinct because of what Christ did. The Anointed One has accomplished in us. So again, what are we going to do with this Jesus? What are we going to do with him? Well, first and foremost, we're going to worship him. But I want to tell you again, When I first started reading scriptures, first saved, first walking, there was so much screaming in my head and screaming out of my mouth and things I didn't understand and crying out for help. And then I spent a whole year just meditating in scriptures. Any thought that came into my mind, I took it into captivity, cast it down, and put my mind on Christ for a whole year. And I have never stopped. I'm still doing the same thing today. That practice and that discipline that I went through that year, I had gone through inner healing and deliverance with a number of very powerful saints. And I have not stopped. I'm still doing the same thing. And I am in a different place. There are thrones in the kingdom. It's not just one throne, but Jesus and the Father God sit on the highest throne. But there are other thrones in heaven too. So it's important to understand that there's a progression. Again, there are layers, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And he won't do it all at once. So you need to be content where you are right now and know that he is also going to move you on and let it go. When you start moving forward, you need to actively engage in the warfare against your past, against your old man, and into that new creation. Romans 8 is wonderful for that. Actually, Romans 6, 7, and 8 is wonderful for that. Okay, so here is some wonderful instruction. Hebrews 12. It's a book of instruction, right, the Bible? The more of it, what I meant to didn't finish that thought, the more of it that you put into your being, into your mind, the more that you allow the Holy Spirit of God filled with the Word to control your mind, your will, and the emotions, the more of the spirit realm you're going to be actively engaged in, right? That makes sense? Yes. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. And believe me, I don't tell everybody a lot of the things that God gives me because people might think I'm a little... But when I'm around people who know what's going on in the same, and we start talking, man, it's like a free fall. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's amazing. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, aren't we? Those that have gone before us, they are the cloud of witnesses, and they are around the throne room with the 24 elders, with the spirits of just men made perfect, the Holy Spirit himself, with the 24 elders who are bowing continually. They are the stones that have been set, those 12 tribes, the eyes within and without, the living creatures, all of these things. This is all going on in heaven all the time. So we are joining with those that have gone on before. I don't necessarily believe that they're looking down. I think they're just having a good time with Jesus and what's going on in heaven. But that's the whole point. There are things going on in heaven. And they are a cloud of witnesses that have gone before. And we can remember these people that have gone on before us, that are up there in heaven with our Savior. And it gives us encouragement. Yes? Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. That's what Pastor Roy and I, for 22 years, have been nailing this message against the back wall. Throw off everything that hinders. Throw it off. You know, when the man was at the gate and he was blind and he was a beggar and Paul, you know, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I will give to you. And he reached his hand down. That man threw his cloak off, which was his means of livelihood. He was a beggar. So he put that cloak on, and people knew that he was blind and that he was a beggar. So we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Don't we all have some sin that's, you know, sitting there all the time making a temptation? You know, the Lord spoke to me last week that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and he overcame it as a man. He did not fall prey to temptation. No, he overcame it. Was he tempted? Yes. Are we tempted? Yes. But it says the sin that so easily entangles, we have to throw it off. and run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Here is the key, fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith, the author and the finisher. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. I find this very encouraging when I am suffering from opposition, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He took his authority. He took his position. He was crucified, resurrected, and he ascended into heaven and sat down next to the Ancient of Days. Consider that. Sat down. Colossians 2, 10 through 13. We pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, pleasing God in every good thing that you do. Then you'll become his fruit-bearing branches, yielding to his life and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in his fullness. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. That's what eternal life is. So we have eternal life, don't we? We do. When we come into Jesus and say, yes, Jesus, we receive eternal life. So that opens the door inside of us to know God and know Jesus. And we pray that you would be energized with all of his explosive power. This is the Passion Bible. From the realm of his magnificent glory. We sang today about his glory. We can live in the glory wherever we are. Filling you with great hope. What is that hope? The glorious hope. Jesus is our hope. He's our anchor. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance. What's the inheritance? Eternal life. What is eternal life? Knowing God, knowing Jesus. Freely given to us by living in the light. Stay in the light. Cast off the works of darkness. Bring your darkness before the King in the light. We have beautiful purple rhododendrons in our yard. And there's a whole bunch of them on the side that are in the sun, and they are blooming, and they're just full of blooms. And then there's one over here, very healthy plant with one bloom, because it's not in the direct sun. I keep seeing that every time I walk outside, every time I look out the kitchen window, I see this one bush that only has one flower. So what's the choice that we have? We want to live in the light, yes? We live in the light, we'll have more fruit. We'll have more flowers blooming. We'll have more blossoms growing on our tree and our rhododendrons. Very healthy plant, but just one flower. I want the whole bloom. I'm going to live in the light. He has rescued us a little bit, halfway. Not at all. What does it say? He has rescued us completely. Completely. That thing, it's on the cross already. Completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in that Son, in Jesus, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his blood. If you don't know what to pray for, say, Lord, I'm covered in the blood. I'm covered in the blood, and this situation is covered in the blood. Covered in the blood. I covered my sister in the blood. And I hear, well, she doesn't really believe. And you know what? I sat with the Holy Spirit in intercession. She came before me, and the Lord reminded me, and I think I shared with her, she sang this song, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, when she was growing up in the Methodist church. I said, Lord, remind her of that song. So that was the intercession. Lord, remind her of that song. Remind her of when she did believe in you. Remind her when she wasn't a meanie beanie. Remind her, you love her. Show her how much you love her. Even now, in this situation that she's in, show her how much you love her. So that was the intercession God gave me. He gave me a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. He gave me an intercession for her that I can stand in and pray. So I have a release in my spirit that God is moving in her life. I believe that. So the last thing that Jesus said on the cross was, "It is finished." So he's the author and finisher of our faith, right? He won it all. He took care of it all. He did it all. Start to finish, each one of us, author and finisher, perfecter, completer. Those are the last words he spoke on the cross. Think about it. What did he say? It's finished. It's finished. Finite. John 19:30. So what is our response? Again, what are we going to do with this Jesus? And I don't want to share with you, you know, husbands and wives, friends, you know, none of us is perfect. You got to give people a lot of grace and a lot of space to move and be human, because we're going to blow it. And we need that person that loves us, husband, wife, friend, whatever, to draw us back into the kingdom without judgment and without railing, but trusting that this Jesus is going to bring that person back into the place where that they need to be, because that's who Jesus is, right? Especially if they're believers. Our response to this truth, Psalm 52:9, because it is finished, I will be praising you forever and giving you thanks. Revelation 21:6-7, and he said to me, it is done or finished, it has been accomplished. It has been accomplished, it's done. You know, if you read the end of the book of Revelation, you will hear and see that Satan, and in the scripture, doesn't it say a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day? So even it says 1,000 years, I believe there will be a millennial reign. But if you look at those, the reality of the scripture, the outside of time, that whether it's 1,000 years or it's a day or 1,000 day, you know, whatever it is, in this moment, Satan is bound. Satan was bound at the cross. He has no power over us anymore. He was bound. Jesus took the keys, death, hell, condemnation, fear, all those things. He took the keys, and if Colossians it says he made a display of them openly, triumphing over this, which I think I have in here somewhere, but he triumphed. I live in that scripture. I love that word. Lord, you triumphed over this in me, and therefore I do not have to act and move in that way. Also, Satan was very angry. And he will get angry at you. And the demons will be railing and yelling at you when you take a stand for the living Christ. You will hear, I hear, so you think that you're not going to get yelled at? Just tell him, be quiet and go away. The scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Even if it's people that are railing at you. Resist the devil and he will flee. What does it say? Resist the devil and he will flee. That's what it says. Put up your shield of faith. Oh, I wear it in this hand. Put up your shield of faith. Put on your helmet of salvation. Pick that word of God up. The word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe in spiritual warfare. Well, they're failing miserably. They're just getting run over. Why? Because God gave us tools to fight against the enemy of our souls. No. Say no. 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 This is what Jesus said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give freely to him that is thirsty. I myself, water without price from the fountain springs of the water of life. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. So there's an overcoming that we have to do, right? And I will be his God, and he will be my son. All that is in the kingdom is attracted to you once you invite Jesus into your heart. It's important that you remind people who are struggling when you're praying with them that Jesus is the answer. Because once they say yes to Jesus and invite him into their heart, then all that is in the kingdom becomes attracted to them. We are the habitation of God. Once you say yes to Jesus, you become the living, breathing habitation of God. You no longer have to have visitations. You are the habitation. So wherever you are, in whatever situation you find yourself, as the habitation of God, he can just give you what you need. Whether you need to see something in the spirit realm, or you need angels, whatever it is that you need, because you are the habitation of God. You are the bride of Christ. You can stand dressed in your armor with the robe of righteousness and say no to the devil. Whatever it is, those demons, whatever they're lying spirits, when you hold up the shield of faith, they melt. Liar, liar, face on fire. I'm laughing, but it's not so funny when you're in the middle of that. I also want to tell you, we've been singing about a fire. We've been singing about fire and preaching about fire and talking about fire. The fire that we're in the midst of right now in this church and those who are saying yes to Jesus, it is not a fire of testing. It's a fire of purification. And when you come through this fire, and if you say yes to Jesus, you know, do it, whatever you need, you're going to go through a fire, but it's a fire that's equipping, okay? It's only going to burn up your flesh. So if your flesh is surrendered, you're okay. There won't be any burning going on. But yes, there you go. It's just like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, whatever, Lord. And they went into the fire. And who was in the fire? That's what the Lord told me all morning this morning. I'm right here, Marie. I'm right here. I'm right here. Okay. I just want you to know that it is causing me to be put in a restraint. In my nature, who I am, I would already be in that hospital with my sister. And the Lord is saying no. So that's why it's important for you to listen and see what he wants you to do. Because you don't want to stop. God is doing something in her life right now. And she hates me. That's true. She hates me because of Jesus. She hates me because I am walking in kingdom authority. And she hates that because she's not a believer. So I'm not going there unless God absolutely tells me to go. But I'm praying for her. I'm praying. Specifically, for whatever it is the Lord, and that's what we are supposed to do. And then if he tells me to go, I will go. And I'm not going to be worrying about who's judging or not judging whatever I'm doing. This is what God has called me to do. So, all that is in the kingdom is attracted to the Jesus in you and I. We are the habitation of God, the warrior bride of the living Christ. I gave our ladies a picture that of a warrior bride, which I absolutely love. It is now over my keyboard. And it's funny because the other things that are up there, sometimes you don't see them anymore. You have stuff on your walls. You know, that one, every time I look up, I see it. And God reminds me. Thank you, Gail. God reminds me that I am his warrior bride. And the rock, too, is on my kitchen. I have yours. It says warrior bride. Sometimes I'm the warrior. Sometimes I'm the bride. Both things are valid and beautiful in the presence of the King. The warrior bride of a living Christ. Men also, I gave Pastor Roy one. You know what? You need to acknowledge that you are a warrior bride. You are the bride of Christ. You are enmeshed with him and intimate with him in a way that's not physical. It's an enmeshing of your spirit with him. And he takes care of you. That's what the bridegroom does. He takes care of you. Holy Spirit, our friend and our teacher, shows us how to overcome. If you're not hearing the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, test and try the Spirit, whether they be of God. The Spirit is 1 John 4. If there's either the Spirit of Christ and there's the Spirit of the Antichrist. So whatever you're hearing, I still ask, do you believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And if they, usually they say no and they run away. Or they say, he says, no, it's me, Marie. It's me. You got to step up and step into the kingdom. If you're not stepping up and stepping into the kingdom, then you are distracted by something in this realm which is stopping you from stepping up. So that's something that hinders. That's a sin that so easily besets us and entangles us because we have a nature that we have to overcome. Ephesians 1, 14 to 16. That Holy Spirit is the guarantee, the down payment deposit that we will receive what God has promised for his people. What has he promised us? Eternal life, an inheritance, provision. Every word, every name that says who Jesus is in the Bible is yours as a believer. We will receive what God has promised for his people, all of our inheritance, until God gives full freedom to those who are his. Or we acquire possession of it. The redemption of the possession to bring praise to God's glory. We want to give him praise through our lives, right? We can walk in his powerful identity in us and become his design. Each one of us is a specific design that God has created. We can walk in his powerful identity in us. So what do we have to get to know? Who he is. What does he do? What is his character? How does he respond in certain situations? And let him do that in you and become his design for us. Our identity in him and with all of his blood sacrifice won on the cross is our destiny. So what's your destiny? To walk in your identity. To walk in your identity. To fulfill what his design was for you in your life. He is the author and finisher of his own destiny in us. He is the one that does the work. He is the author and finisher. We're not the author and finisher. He is. Psalm 138, 8. You keep every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you've begun in me. This is a prayer. He who has begun a good work in you is able to complete it. God is able to complete it. And if you feel in the midst that you're in the soup, get out of the soup. Climb up the side of the pot and get out. Get on dry land. Lord, you're able to complete it in me, whatever I need. You want, and you know, you don't have to have the whole panoramic thing laid out, just the next step. God showed me a vision, and a number of people have confirmed it, which makes me feel very humble. But I'm walking on the narrow road, and I don't have to know where I'm going, but I know where I'm going. I'm going to Jesus. But step by step, just the next step. That's all I need to do. Take the next step. Let him show me what is the next step. I don't know what's down the road, except I know that it's the glory and the fullness of being finished. My faith mature in God. So, Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Gail? If God be for us, who can be against us? Gail? Every time I call Gail, that's what I hear. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's her message on her phone. Good word. Romans 8:37. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors, not just conquerors. More than conquerors. And gaining a surpassing victory through him who loved us. God loves us. Mark 16:19-20. So then, and I'm going to share this. You need to go back and look at this portion of scripture. You read Mark 16. This is the place where Jesus, before he is ascended, he gives them the Great Commission. He tells them what to do. And he empowers them and equips them. I'm just going to end read the last part, because if I had to teach about the Great Commission, we'd be here all day. So read it yourself and find out what Jesus gave the disciples in his equipment and what he sent them out to do. The main thing that I'm talking about is Jesus' ascension and his power and his intercession for each one of us, because he's seated at the right hand of God. He's not there crying and pleading with God to take care of us. He already took care of us, you understand? He already took care of us. He's sitting next to the throne with God going, yeah, do you see them? Yeah, you know. Excited, waiting, eager to pour out in our lives what he's already won. So then after the Lord had spoken, we're talking about Jesus, to them, his disciples, his 12, he ascended into heaven. So they watched him ascend into heaven. I think that would be pretty amazing. He was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go forth and preach everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. It is finished. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He gave us a divine helper, the Holy Spirit. He has given us eternal life, which is what? What is eternal life? What is it? I must have said it at least four times today. What is eternal life? To know God and to know Jesus. That's eternal life. Yes. To know all about him. To know him and his son Jesus. He has given us the kingdom. He's the door into heaven and into the kingdom. He has given us his divine blueprint for success. His living word and his living presence. So again, throw off everything that hinders, every entangling sin. Run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus. He is now standing for us all to complete what he started. He is the one that completes it, not us. He's able to complete it. We just have to believe it, right? All right, I just want to leave you with this prayer in Hebrews 13:20. So close your eyes and say yes. Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock, and by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, eternal life, may he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the Anointed One, who is to receive all glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now may God's wonderful grace be poured out upon you all. Embrace grace today. It's there for whatever you need. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for each member here and all the people that they represent, that this word would go forth not only into them and bring forth fruit, but that fruit would remain, and that the people that are around them will be able to come and eat from the fruit of the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ within each one of us, Lord. Christ within the hope of glory. Father, let us step up and step into your kingdom and truly believe that you are who you say you are. You are who you say you are, Lord. You are the Son of God. You are the righteous one. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are our life. So I do thank you, Father, for each person here. I release them to be blessed today, that this word would not only seep into their being, Lord, but that it would produce fruit in their own lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen.